have a basketball program that we all expect to compete for Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in the Big Ten.
Final four!
I didn't think you got me this good, but it feels good!
Welcome on in, everybody, to the boardroom. Maddie here alongside Josh and Johnny. After a 97-68 win, now I've really just been brought in here this evening to introduce the podcaster this evening, because full disclosure, I just got off work. I was able to check the score at half, saw we were up like 18. I'm like, oh, we're fine. I don't have to fret about it. Check the score when there was like 3 minutes left. I saw Robert say something about 10x, 5x before I even saw the score. So I was like, oh, I don't even need to check the score. We're good. So I'm going to throw it over to Josh and Johnny to talk about it. And maybe we'll see if anyone else joins the podcast here this evening. But guys, what do we need to know? That was awesome.
That was insane. It was insane. It was just drubbing, like nonstop scoring when the starters were in. Maybe not as much when the starters came out, but the starters came out. Like the whole game could be defined as the starters came out for Illinois at the 9:30 mark in the second half. That happens only in non-conference play against PenPom teams ranked
quad four games. Yeah, exactly.
In the 300s.
30? Like Brad emptied the bench out with 9.5 minutes left in the half.
Terrence and Coleman didn't play another minute starting then.
And Terrence, I saw
and Quincy
over 30.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was by far Terrence's best game back. Like he was shooting the ball exceptionally well. The passing was awesome from everybody. Like it was just domination, a really fitting end to the Juwan Howard era. I'm gonna miss him a lot. I don't know about you guys, but that was a lot of fun. And I hope that Michigan continues to hire a coach who just finds new ways to lose to Illinois, because that's what Juwan did every year, just a new and more fun way to lose to Illinois.
Yeah, it's whenever I mean, it became like this. Whenever you would see Michigan on the schedule, you're just like, all right, chalk that up as a dub. Like, even though at times they were ranked, at times they had way better players than us. But it was an auto dub for Brad and just got the vibes going for the team. Like, it's what we needed after the, like, emotional loss on – I'm calling Michigan State an emotional loss on Saturday. It was emotional because I really wanted to win that game. But – and we ended up losing, so every loss is an emotional loss for me. But it was a much needed lethargic kind of game that we had here today.
Lethargic or cathartic?
Cathartic. Thank you. Okay. I don't know. Thank you, language guy.
I mean, and ESPN is hold on. ESPN is playing a video. You guys talk.
Yeah. No, it was a lethargic effort for Michigan, no doubt. But It was really nice. I know Michigan State was tough. Like, you're basically tied with like 2 minutes left and you just couldn't close that game out. We were up 8 at one point with like, I don't know, 6 minutes left. So that one really hurt, especially you had an opportunity for a quad one win. You had an opportunity to really make it a 2-horse race in the Big Ten. But glad to see the guys respond. I really only have one complaint from this game, and it's like, the back of the bench and the walk-ons need to be better. I'm sorry, but we were up 37 at one point, and then it almost turned into a 9x, 7x. So, of course, Juwan had to instruct the guys to start shooting the ball. And, like, the refs, how many fouls were called in the last, like, 5 to 10 minutes of that
game? So ridiculous. Like, everyone knows the game's over. You don't need to slow down this game even more.
You really don't. But I was happy at least that Max Williams got to make some free throws.
That was a cool moment. Very, very cool moment. And like, I mean, Terrence's game is overshadowing Coleman's amazing game as well. Like,
yeah, Coleman's game was great. He shows up against Michigan. I mean, he's basically like anyone else who's a big online fan, like Illini fan, shows up for Michigan. Same, you know who else showed up for Michigan? Was the Orange Crush. The 0-8 chants were great. Where's Doug chants were great. Like,
an orange crush game worthy of our compliments, Johnny. I was listening to the radio on the way home from work, and they did Coleman for the post game interview, and they were doing the class, you know, kind of talk about this, talk about that, and then the question that Dion asked him, he goes, you know, kind of just talk about your all around game tonight, And he was like, yeah, I think I did pretty good. If it were the NBA, I would have had 11 or 12 assists tonight. So he was inflating his stats a little bit. So I
Wait,
know that
what is
you're
that comment?
well, because like in the NBA, I think they're a little bit more lenient to give you the like assist
Yeah, the
for
assist, that is true.
so I know, Johnny, I know you'll eat that up right there. Like, you know what? The box score, we can add maybe three or four more assists to his box score at the end of the night.
Yeah, I would take that for sure. I mean, he was like on pace at one point in the first half for like a potential triple double, but what we didn't factor in was he wasn't going to play the last 10 minutes of the game. But I mean, the 3-point shooting was so, we were so due, and it was so necessary after like all the stats had been out there that we'd be shooting worse at home than on the road, which like no college basketball team does that. And I mean, solid game from Coleman going 3 for 6. Terrence was just lights out. Like,
What do we ended up finish? What
the
percent
shoot.
did we end up finishing it?
We ended up finishing at 48%, but that's
Yes.
also from like Luke and DGL combining to go for like 1 for 6. So the starters, pretty much everyone, like starters were Quincy 2 for 2, Coleman 3 for 6, Marcus 1 for 2, Terrence 5 for 8. So
Yeah, so Jip Bop might have to change. Like our Jip Bop, it's no longer Quincy in the corner. It's it might be Terrence in the corner. That stretch where he hit three straight threes from the corner was, I mean, like there's no way to stop him.
Don't
yeah,
it's been a couple
exactly.
games. It's been two
You don't understand. Anytime Terrence got the ball on the corner, it was in. Like it was just
Yeah, it
every
was just the right hand corner. Like it he just was like automatic. And there was a great time though where like Marcus kind of realized that and set him up, and he was just so wide open. It's like, Michigan's, what are you doing? Juwan, what are you doing? You're playing a zone against a team that's shooting lights out and has guys like Coleman and Marcus who can pass the ball. Just like absolute malpractice and no idea what's going on. But Maddie, you got to watch the replay on this one, just because it's like it's basketball
Yeah,
form
and I
for
realized
sure.
I forgot to record the game, and I realized that Matthew Loves Ball is no longer on YouTube, right?
Yeah, he got
Yes.
banned.
So if anyone can put together like a 36-minute compilation of like every third possession of this game and send it to me, that would be wonderful because that man had the best. That man had to have like an army
I
of
think someone in Rome
individuals.
might put it together.
Okay, I will have to check our Italian our Italian fans out there. Do you guys want a power
Yeah.
rank? Do you guys want a power rank? Because I'm going back to the whole RIP Juwan. Your favorite Michigan Illinois games in the Juwan Howard
Wait,
era. I feel like the
can we wait 1 second just until if
Yeah,
potentially we have a
yeah.
special guest
Okay, you know what? That's a
To
great
join.
idea. That is a great idea. You know what? Let's just start getting just start thinking about it though. And I mean, I feel like number one is obvious. But just start thinking about
Yeah,
it.
no, for sure. Totally understand.
Quick power ranking, I'll just really say really quick of worst Illinois Michigan games under the John Gross era. Number one worst is plane crash game. That was the worst game
Yeah,
in the Big
Big
Ten
Ten
tournament.
tournament.
That
Yeah.
was a worst game. We won't have to go through the entire power rankings, but that is definite my number one plane crash
Yes,
game.
when Michigan wore their practice jerseys.
And just wiped the floor
Well,
with
that was like
us.
you
Give
just like
them
shoes too.
Yeah,
Like,
we
what?
gave
I
them
think.
Shoes,
We
yeah.
gave them a 17-0 lead, I think, also to start the
Yeah.
game. So yes, good call, Josh. We will wait on that. Ooh, I'm just giddy thinking about it right now. I'm giddy
But
thinking about it.
when you did mention Italian earlier, I felt like this game was a perfect example. Like Nico Moretti, DGL, Dane. Like we learned today, like maybe less is more with those guys. Like maybe Brad knows what he's doing and is keeping his rotation short for a reason, because you did see the drop off when those guys went into the game.
Yeah, I
I
don't think right.
don't
Yeah,
understand
I've
why
had the
people
complaints.
complain about. I don't
I've
really
had those
understand.
complaints.
Can someone like, isn't it pretty typical? At least in the Brad era, he's always kept his rotation at seven or eight guys. And I get it, maybe down the stretch in the season, you got some tired legs when you get to the tournament. Maybe that's the complaint, but I've never really understood that complaint before. Why would you not play your best seven or eight?
Yeah, no, I think it's just to develop them. Also, we live and this is not something like Brad doesn't think about this. So as fans, we shouldn't think about this. But like in the back of my mind, I'm like, we're winning right now with fourth year experienced good seniors, right? Or fifth year seniors, however many. And like the only way you get there is by developing. those players throughout the season. And so like when your freshman could potentially transfer, that's what I'm thinking about. And as we talk about this, we have a special guest and we're starting a new part of this podcast or a new segment called Sore Winners, where we invite the a fan of the opposing team onto the podcast and we just have a quick conversation.
And we're nice to them. We're nice to them.
So everyone welcome.
Compliment them.
Everyone welcome. Michigan alum, national champion in football, Russell. Hi, Russell. How
hey,
are
Russell.
You?
Russell, we always, oh, sorry, go ahead, Russell. How you doing? Go ahead.
Oh, hey guys. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for acknowledging my national championship. It must be tough for you guys. How many years has it been? I don't know.
1915.
It's really tough when it's been a couple weeks, but you know, I'll get past it. It's okay.
Yeah, so we always start with a very nice question, and that was going to be our nice question is, what is it like winning a national championship in a sport like college football where there's
that will be vacated?
That will be vacated, that there's a couple hundred Division I teams. Genuinely, like, I genuinely want to know the emotions that go into something like that, because I'm not quite sure I'll ever experience that in my lifetime.
You know, it's, I hope you can at some point. It's very nice when you get to text with friends or fans, and they're just wondering what it's like, right? And you can tell them, hey, this is just the achievement of everything I've worked my entire life for. It's not my wedding. It's not my proposal, right? It's a national championship, and I can have that forever. I can wear the t-shirts, I can wear the memorabilia. It's just, it's a wonderful thing to have. Huh.
What happens when it gets vacated again? Like, it doesn't count?
So here's the thing about that. What I don't worry about is the fact that it happened, so I can just watch it again, right? And if I'm like, you know what, I need to feel something, then I can just watch the tape, and it happened, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm. So I guess just kind of follow up to all that. Tonight must have sucked. What was that like for you to watch that? Talk about what that was like. Did you watch the whole game?
Was there a game? No, I didn't. I didn't watch the whole game. I did watch the first half.
And then did you turn on the Bachelor?
So yes, the channel was changed somewhat purposefully, somewhat not. So here's the thing, right? I have found that if we're winning at halftime, we generally lose the game. But it does give us a better chance to win if we're winning at halftime. And we were not quite winning at halftime, where we're down 29 points. Maybe it was 20. So at that point, I thought, you know what, it's all right. And the question is, right, like, okay, what do you do with Juwan Howard? And the answer is, I think you have to give him one more year. And I'll actually tell you why. I was on the boat of firing him. And you guys are probably going to be on me about this. But the one thing that I'm holding on to is the 2020 football season, which was the COVID year, where Michigan football went, what, I think 2-4 in six games. And they just looked awful. And you had Joe Milton at quarterback, which, like, props to him going to the combine today.
Why did you switch to football?
Great QB. Because I'm explaining. But they were terrible that year. But then they turned it around, and 3 years later, we're national champions, right? I think this year and last year were terrible years for the basketball team. I don't think Juwan is potentially a good coach. I think that's why Phil Martelli's there. But he's a great recruiter, and he's like a good basketball guy. And that's like arguably just as important for college basketball. So I think you have to give him one more year. If it's diminishing returns again next year, then yeah, you cut bait. But the entire program at this point is going to be wiped out, right? Stauskas said it best. There's not a single guy on that roster who like actively wants to play for Michigan basketball. So the entire roster will be wiped out. That's okay. And you see what he builds. And if it's a stinker, right, you cut bait.
Okay, so that's a great segue into our next topic. What power rank?
Wait, I just would like to say, I would love for that. Can we get Manuel on the phone? Can we get the AD and be like, hey, we have a Michigan alum, a Michigan man right here. It's like, give him one more year just because Jim Harbaugh sucked during COVID. Like, that would be great.
I mean, Harbaugh didn't just suck during COVID. He lost to Ohio State, the first 6 years? Was it 4 years, five years? Whatever it was.
Are we the Ohio State in this situation?
No, because you guys don't win anything ever.
Hey, this is not how this is supposed to go.
Okay, so that's
because
a great
now that is a good transition, Josh.
Yeah, good transition. So let's play the game where we power rank the eight times that Brad and Juwan have faced each other head-to-head in Illinois versus Michigan. So, Russell, quick question. What is the record? Like, what's the record between the two teams so that we can start at, like, with a baseline there?
Is it 0-8? Are we 0-8?
It's 0-8.
Is it 0-8? All right. That's fine. I do have a random question. It has nothing to do with the regular season. It's more about postseason, right? Because that's kind of what matters. Who's gone further in the last 8 years.
Guys, we got to switch this.
I like this. No, I like this. This is fun. This is, but this brings up the whole philosophical debate that we do every second weekend in March of, you know, how much stock to put in.
Does it matter? Yeah, does it matter?
Well, so what about win percentage? Does that matter in the Big Ten?
Yeah, win percentage or like number of rings. Because we have a Big Ten regular season, like that was legit and not a phony one like you guys. And then we also have a Big Ten tournament championship. So that's another ring.
Hold on, just a quick pause because I have to ask because we have both. Are you talking about basketball or football?
Basketball.
Even John is confused. We're talking about basketball. Yeah, we're talking about basketball.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's important. So I would say we all have the number one. Do you know what our number one is? Like, we all have a clear-cut number one. This actually probably jumped into the number four or five range, I would say. Maybe three, actually. I'm thinking about
You're
it.
Saying tonight is three?
Tonight could have been three.
Well, number one is obvious. Russell,
number
one,
yeah, number one's obvious. Number two's obvious.
Yeah, sorry. Repeat the question one more time. Sorry.
Of the eight games, like, what's our favorite game between of the eight?
It's a good one. I'd have to assume it's something further back that meant like more while we were closer to being active students, right? Because like once you graduate so long ago, what are you really holding on to? I don't know. But
you have a podcast with friends to talk about it.
No, I'm just joshing. I don't know. What is your top? Tonight was very good. But again, I think it would mean more if Michigan basketball were good. I think the game is better when Michigan basketball.
So, yeah, our number.
For clarity, right? Today, this team is not a good basketball team.
Yeah, this could have been like a quad three game for us, which means nothing. But
yeah, I'll accept that. We're terrible.
The number one, clear-cut number one, is during the COVID season in which you guys won your phony championship, we didn't have IO play, and we were both ranked top 10. Top five, maybe? No, top 10.
Is that the Kofi team also? That was IO and Kofi?
Yeah, IO and Kofi.
Exactly.
And we boat raced you at Michigan.
Yeah, I think the final score was 79-54. And
I'm trying to remember the Michigan team. Was that Franz and it was Franz
Isaiah Livers,
Dickinson. Yes. And that was the year that he what did he break his leg? Something like the day before the tournament, something crazy happened. Anywho, yes, exactly. That was a very good win. I think it matters more when teams are good, right? Like this isn't a good matchup. You guys deserve to beat us by 50, if not 30.
Thank you. This is why we invite you on. This feels nice. Yeah. This feels good.
If I'm going to dish it, I got to be able to take it. This team is abhorrent, right? So you're just kind of hoping for the season to end. And that's why I want to see what happens next year.
We really need to find, is there a Russell of the other 13 or whatever, 18 Big Ten teams? Like where's the Rutgers Russell? I need a Rutgers Russell.
We have one. I have one on TV.
Do we have a Maryland? Not that we would ever need to invite on them. We're not beating Maryland ever, but no. Is there a Maryland Russell? All right, so what's number two then if it's so obvious?
No, Johnny's
happy. Maddie, it's the IO game winner, buzzer beater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't watch that game actually. That's why it's not clear to me.
That was pretty awesome. 0.7 on the clock. Awesome. That's good. And then you could slot number three into there. I mean, again, recency bias is large. And I do think that this game gets taken down a couple pegs then just because of, like you said, Russell, the lack of competitiveness, that it's just two not evenly matched teams. So it might get tossed down a couple pegs. I'd have to see all eight games. I can't remember. Johnny, you probably can remember like off the dome, like six of them.
Yeah, so last year's was a lot of fun. The double overtime game, and I want to say Michigan was Michigan was up maybe like seven at one point with like 2 minutes left. That one was fun. The first game that started it, Michigan was like ranked top 10, maybe even top five, and Illinois upset them at the State Farm Center. That was also during the 1920 season.
The game that I went to in Champaign wasn't good. I went to like a game. It was like, I don't think the student section was back even for that game. It was like a winter break game that Sid and I went to.
Yes. And like Dickinson didn't play for some reason.
Oh yeah. That was maybe eight. Yeah. The one game was bad. Okay. Wait, I have actually a question unrelated to like these eight games, Russell. Like Ohio State clear cut number one. Like is there any basketball fan base? Like, don't think about your football rivalries. Any basketball fan base that you absolutely hate the most?
So it's actually an interesting question. I think it's twofold, right? Michigan State's an obvious one just because Izzo is such a legend. And so every time you face them, you're like, you got to beat Izzo because he's just in the top tier of college basketball coaches ever. I actually have a bit of a wild card one, though, especially when we were in college, right? You had the Wisconsin teams that were just absolutely nasty. That was it was Sam Decker. I'm trying to think of all those guys. I can see his face.
Frank
Kaminsky.
Frank the Tank, right? And so those games were always just fantastic, right?
Brad Davidson.
Yeah, just fantastic teams. Nigel Hayes, right? Just like an amazing Wisconsin team. So those were always fantastic games. And those were just like, right, you think about the games that you would go to frequently that were really just big circles. That was a big one. But I think realistically, right, it's Michigan State is just perpetually the big one. And you guys are genuinely up there, right? Like, you guys have really climbed the ranks of Big Ten basketball teams. I don't think that's like crazy to say at all.
Do you hate Purdue?
No. Like, I'm happy for them, right? Like, he's a beast. Jaden Ivey was a beast, right? Just like, let them be happy.
Disgusting.
Like, I don't know. It's like, they're a good team. Do I think they're going to win at all? No. Like, they've been really good the past few years. They've had ED. They've never done anything. They haven't proven anything. They're just like a dominant regular season team.
You guys can not gonna go tell anywhere. That Russell's not online. He just doesn't go on Twitter and look. He's
what
not
you,
on
Facebook.
Yeah.
Russell, I have a question.
Well, Michigan basketball, exclusive Michigan basketball fans are like not real people. Like, they only live on Twitter and are just something else. But you can also just tell Russell's teams have won in a way that, like, he can be happy and have a level of empathy that we just do not possess. Because think about, like, Russell, a Sweet 16 for Russell is nothing. They did that as an 11 seed a couple years ago. They went to the Elite Eight. They went to the championship in 2018. Like, so many things in basketball that they've accomplished, and three straight college football playoffs. Like, I mean, I'd be happy for other teams too. And
like,
we not got past the second round.
You know,
Chiefs fans
great.
Are probably like giving respect to all these other fan bases to make it to the AFC championship. I mean, NFC
like,
championship.
Brock Purdy, you were Mr. Irrelevant. You came all this way. Good for you. You know, you've done a good job. But no, what's great is, we made it to that finals. What was that? 2018. Oh, played Villanova. Obviously, got destroyed by them. Right, Dante DiVincenzo went for what, I think like 35 points in that game. But now I get to root for him and Brunson on my favorite pro basketball team. So it just all works out.
Wow, you're so happy and go lucky. Wow, lucky you.
What is it like to
he has, I think what it is he has these moments, like Johnny was saying, like the fact that I had to be there for that buzzer beater that Livers hit, like that's just like I was with Russell at the time at Skeeps, right? Is that what it was?
You're talking Jordan Poole's
buzzer beater.
Against,
my bad.
Against Houston, yes.
You just have these moments that you get to hang on to, and it's no fun. For us, where we don't have these tournament moments yet with Brad, even though he's a better coach than Jawan.
So I have a legitimate question for three of you. I think all of us can agree, Jawan, if not this year, is out next year if things stay the same. If things stay the same, how do we feel about Brad if we're out in the first weekend? Because at what point?
You're talking to the... Sorry, at least two people. Maddie, I've never heard your actual opinion on this. Two people who just like are very much like, he gets us to the tournament. It's a random situation in the tournament. We got screwed on seeding. I think, Maddie, this is your take as well. Like, we're competitive every single year since his first two awful years, but those two teams are terrible. We're happy right now.
I went to college.
This team's very good. This team,
Russell, we didn't make a tournament our 4 years.
Right. I went to college in the John Gross era where we didn't go to the tournament at all. So it's hard for me to sit here and see our team go to the tournament every year and complain. Right. I think this is a classic example of if only in football, it's like, if only we could just win six games every year, if only we could win six games every year, if only we can win six games every year. Then if you start winning six games every year, eventually you're going to say, you know what? I'm kind of bored of winning six games every year. I want to win eight games every year. So I know it's a little bit apples and oranges. And I think I agree with what you said, Josh. I think a little bit of this getting screwed over by seeding thing is, I will believe that to a certain extent of like, you play who you play and there is a randomness in March Madness. I think it's also a quote skill within coaching of learning how to win on a weekend. That is very different than learning how to win against Big Ten teams that you see once or twice every year, and you can scout for them, and you know who you're playing months in advance. That is a very different skill, I think, than saying, okay, we have to play Iona, and then 2 days later, we might play either Houston or Florida State, whatever, I'm making up teams here. So I think it is a different coaching skill set. He's not out if we lose in the first weekend, but I know people will inevitably talk.
No, I think he's out once, like, if there's ever a time where he just continuously doesn't make the second weekend, but then we don't make a tournament 1 year, he's out that year.
That's cutthroat.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know. Right now, it's a small sample size with some unlucky seeding. Another appearance like that, Russell, then it starts to become a trend that's unfavorable and, like, there's momentum. Like, you don't want to turn into Fran McCaffrey. Fran McCaffrey is someone who has a tournament problem and can't win enough games, like can't make it to the second.
But he's still there.
He's still there because Iowa basketball is not Illinois basketball. Right. Like,
you guys have more history than Iowa basketball
exactly.
does. Except for Caitlin Clark, who's like a legend, but that's a, yeah. You know, it's just different, right? Like,
5 years.
Yeah, I think, no, but you guys have been there, right? Like, you've had that history, so now it's just kind of getting back to that, which you've done, but it's winning in the tournament outside of just winning in the regular season.
It's a fair gripe. Again, you're judged on what you do in sports in the postseason, yeah. Right? I think college basketball is a different sport because, again, the tournament is a messed up thing, and I think that you put, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like you put a lot more stock into the regular season for college basketball than maybe any other sport. Like, I know you celebrate Big Ten West or Big Ten East or Big Ten Championship in football, but in basketball, maybe this is just my bias, it feels like there's the most amount of emphasis placed on winning a Big Ten tournament or winning a Big Ten title.
Yeah, it's definitely up there. I would say, like, aside from like in American sports, soccer, for example, all that matters is like how well you do in the regular season, right? Like, but yeah, and in every other sport, it's like, okay, how are we doing in the playoffs? But then again, March Madness, like it's just kind of forgettable. Like, there aren't that many teams you're like, oh yeah, Syracuse made it to the Sweet 16 or Elite Eight that year. It's sometimes a bit of a wash, but you kind of do remember who won the Big Ten. But when you're never the team that's in the Sweet 16, then it starts to become like, hey, we really need to accomplish this.
Yeah, it gets loud this year. It gets loud this year if he doesn't get out of the first weekend, I think, for sure.
For sure. Russell's not understanding what we mean by scoot over seeding. Johnny, what was Loyola in KenPom?
Yeah, I think they were eighth or ninth. They were top 10 before.
But they were an eight seed, Russell.
As an eight seed, which was bullshit. Houston was a five seed and like fourth in KenPom.
I feel like they always do that with the mid-majors, though, that they misrank them. But that's like an every year
yes,
thing.
Yes, yes.
Right? Yes. Like, this happens every year that one team does get screwed or a couple teams get screwed here and there. But like, hold on. I have a counter gripe to that. If you're going to complain about getting seeded against Loyola and be like, okay, this was like such a tough matchup for us, then you shouldn't be in the Elite Eight or the Sweet 16. Like, you're going to have to beat
those
teams.
You're not wrong. Uh-oh.
Right?
No, there's a difference. There's a difference. Like,
hold on.
You're supposed to beat those teams when you play those teams in the right round, you know? Like, for example, FAU makes it to the Final Four this year. Do you remember who they played in the second round?
No, but I have a counter thought.
They played,
right? Like,
they played a 16 seed. Like, sometimes it's the help that you get along the way, you know?
I mean, yes, you could make that argument, but you could also make the argument that, like, anybody that had to play, who was the team that beat Virginia that first time the one seed went down? Like,
yeah,
oh, UMBC, I think it was UMBC, right? Like, oh, the team that played the next lost also. But they had tough seeding because they had to play a 16 seed instead of Virginia.
Yeah, K-State
no.
K-State got very lucky that they got to play a 16 seed. And Loyola was in that bracket that made the Final Four that year. But
I don't know if I buy that argument.
2018,
I can understand
Michigan.
It, right?
What seeded team did 2018 Michigan play in the Final Four?
We played Loyola Chicago. Of course I remember that.
Yes.
Sister G.
Yes.
So what Johnny's saying is, though, you're judging him on not making it to the Sweet 16, but he's had an unfortunate luck on who he's playing in the round that gets him to the Sweet 16.
That's fair.
Exactly.
That's fair.
It's not about who you play. It is about who you play when.
At some point, you got to win the games.
No, for sure. I'm not saying that's
I think you
I mean,
all at every point you got to win the game.
yeah.
I think. Yeah. So let's bring it back a little bit more to this game. You guys, I got one more question. Russell, I really appreciate you doing this genuinely. I know it kind of can't be fun to come
Yeah.
on this space and, you know, get ragged on again. If you go to sleep crying a little bit tonight after this game, you can
I
cry
think
under
we feel more
your
emotional
ring.
at our
You
team.
can cry under your
So
championship
well.
ring. I got one more
Ah,
question
it's
for you.
beautiful.
One more question for you. It's been 1,860 days since Michigan beat Illinois in basketball. Where do you feel like your life will be in 1,860 days from now? And will
I
Michigan
really,
have beat Illinois?
that's a great question. If I think about it, right? There's so many different variables. Will we be a football school still? I don't know. Will we be a completely basketball school by then? I don't know. Will we have beaten Illinois? Probably not at this rate, but does it matter? I don't know. Maybe for you guys. No, that was unfair. The answer is, I think maybe we'll be like, what, 1-15 at that point, which I'll take as long as we go further in the postseason, because in my opinion, that's what matters more.
That's a great answer, Russell. I that's a good dig right there at the end there. Of as long as you outdo us in March Madness, then that's fair. Well, Russell, we appreciate you having you coming on the show. Maybe we played our two games this year, but maybe if we link up again in the Big Ten tournament, we'll have to do this. We'll have to do this again for a third time. So maybe the Juwan and Brad Eric, when he gets fired, isn't over. There could be another regular or not regular season game, but a postseason game, or
They have to play
better
two
yet.
games to get to us. They're going to be in that bottom four.
What if we meet in the tournament? What if Michigan
So
pulls off
here's
some
what I was going to
run?
say. Here's my prediction, right? Is we're going to be a really low seed in the tournament, in the Big Ten tournament, that is, right? And maybe, just maybe, you guys get some tough luck with seeding. You get a really low seed that shouldn't be a low seed,
Luckily,
and
there's
that
no.
team beats you.
Luckily, the Big Ten tournament seeds are very, like, you know who you're playing based on how they did in the season rather than a Loyola KenPom rating.
I don't know.
Interesting. Can Doug McDaniel play in like
It's a
postseason?
great question. I believe, yes, I believe the answer was just five games that were road games. So now that that's over, I believe the answer is yes. But if that changes, who knows? Will Phil Martelli coach randomly? Possibly. We don't
Who
know. We'll
knows?
figure it
We
out.
don't. These are questions, Russell, that
Yeah.
this is why you come on. Russell, this was so fun. We appreciate you. We appreciate you using your time, spending your time with us here this evening. And thank you everyone for listening to this episode of The Boardroom. We'll catch you on the next one. ILL.